don't know how God is going to solve your problem. We like to put God in a box to determine how he's to fix the problem. You don't need to tell him how to fix it. He knows how to fix it. He knows the trial you're going through. And he, remember now, there is a purpose and it is productive. And when he is ready, he will deliver you. But expect his deliverance.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In the earlier part of this message, Pastor Grant showed how it is that God uses trials to produce positive change in the lives of his people. This was number 6 in Pastor Grant's list of the means God uses to change the believer in ways that reflect the character of Christ. Now, in the concluding part of this message, Pastor Grant will give us number 7 in this list, and that is the corrective means of discipline. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Joshua, chapter 10, and listen with us as Pastor Grant concludes the first part of the message by looking at Joshua's bold prayer in the midst of great trial. Once again, here's Pastor Grant.
Romans 8:28 and 29. Romans 8. Oh, I hope if you don't know this scripture, there are some scriptures you need to memorize. And here is a passage of scripture every young person, every older person needs to memorize this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And what? And we what? And we know that all things work together for what? Oh, hold it. What did it say? All things work together for good. So the trial, even in that trial, God is saying that trial is productive. It says it's working together for good to those who love God. Now, it's not for any and everybody. He's talking about those who love God, those who are saved by the grace of God, those who God has positionally sanctified. Listen, he says, for he whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God has already determined in advance, the moment you got saved, he has already determined you're going to look like Jesus one day. Amen. So God is working everything for your good. So my good friend, I don't know what your issue is right now. Oh, I know in a congregation of this size, there are people going through all sorts of trials. Some of it is a medical trial. Some of it is a financial trial. Some of it's a job-related trial. Some of it is family issues. Some of it, your marriage is falling apart. Cling to God's promises. In all these things, God is working all these things together for good. Can you trust God? Oh, you know, it's good to be able to trust God in the good times, but it's better to be able to trust him in the bad times. Amen? Number 2, cling to God. Not only cling to his promises, but cling to God. It's good to hold on to the promises given, but it's even better to hold on to the promise giver himself. Amen. Oh, I love holding on to the promises of God, but oh, I want to hold on to God, the one who gives the promises. Joshua was, in the story, Joshua was winning the battle. So the war is going on. Joshua is winning, but daylight was running out. Some of you might remember this story. Some of you, this may be the first time you've ever read it. And Joshua needed to finish the job. He realized that if night fell, some of the enemies might escape. And he had to clean the store. He needed more daylight. So what do you do when you need more daylight? You pray the impossible. So he prays to God. Look at verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of the Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself of its enemies. What a bold prayer. Have you ever been there? Stop. You heard my question? Have you ever been there? You say, where, Brother Brian? Have you ever been in such a tough place that you started praying some bold prayers? I wonder if you realize how big our God is. Do you realize that Joshua had a real sense of how big his God was? And he realized his God was so big, he could actually pray a prayer to this big God. An almost impossible prayer. I am going to encourage GCA. And if you're a visitor, I'm going to encourage you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to encourage you not to be afraid of praying some bold prayers. Some bold prayers as we ask God to deliver our children, as we ask God to deliver friends in bondage, as we ask God to help some who are sick, as we ask God to save some marriages that have died or are dying. Let's not give up. Let's cling to God. God is able. My friend, I know in our church there are challenges. There are people who are struggling, and you feel like you don't love him anymore, or he feels like he don't love you anymore. We need, the next week I'll touch on that a little, but we need to turn to this God who can turn everything around and pray for this marriage that is dying. Do you believe he's able? The Bible says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So that's number one. As I roll along, number one, we got to cling to God's promises. Number two, we got to cling to God. But number three, we better expect God's deliverance. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 40, there are so many other verses I could point you to. And in verse 40, so Joshua subdued the entire region. Not just these five kings. By the way, let me just, can I throw in a little something here? It's interesting. You're talking about sometimes. Can you imagine? Joshua is facing these insurmountable odds. Five kings against his. Do you realize sometimes when God puts you in the worst situation, he's actually solving several problems at a time? You say, Brother Brian, explain what you mean. Joshua would have had to go against each of these kingdoms one by one to accomplish God's purpose for his taking over the promised land. He would have had to fight each of the five kings. One battle, two battles, three battles, four battles, five battles, a protracted amount of fighting. God lets him kill all, destroy all five one time. Sometimes you're going through, it seems so intense, you don't know that God might be actually sparing you a lot of drama. Yes, he might be loading it all on you at one big time. Cling to God. But expect God's deliverance. So Joshua subdued the whole region, including the hill country, the Negev. He totally destroyed all who breathed. You see it there. We can expect God's deliverance. What a mighty God we serve. You know, in our passage in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19. It's so interesting in chapter 19 of Acts of the Apostles how God solved the problem that Paul and his friends were facing. You see, you don't know how God solves the problem, you know. God uses his own way. Now, in all the prior times, the officials were the ones harassing and giving them a hard time. All of a sudden, the officials are the one that God is going to use to rescue him. Why are the officials this time going to rescue him? Because somehow God puts fear into the heart of the officials. And the officials are now worried about how Rome will react if Rome finds out there is a commotion in the city. And so they are saying, oh my goodness, for our own self-interest, we better put this riot to an end, and you better release Paul and his friends. You don't know how God is going to solve your problem. We like to put God in a box to determine how he's to fix the problem. You don't need to tell him how to fix it. He knows how to fix it. He knows the trial you're going through. And he, remember now, there is a purpose and it is productive. And when he is ready, He will deliver you. But expect His deliverance. Somebody say amen. Amen. Seventh and finally. This doesn't mean this is all there was, but this is all I want to share as I bring this message to a close in the next few minutes on the issue of under construction. This one is the correction of discipline. The correction of discipline. Now, the word discipline often has a negative connotation. So sadly, discipline is hardly discussed anymore. In fact, some churches have done away with the whole idea of discipline. And the discipline I'm talking about is not necessarily church discipline, although God actually uses the church in some instances to carry out His discipline. But I'm not specifying church discipline necessarily, but let it be clear that the church has a responsibility in some instances to carry out God's discipline. But that is the least of our problems. The reality is we need to be aware of God's discipline. There is no Christian that God does not discipline. So don't ever feel that you're some special candidate, some special person, and God doesn't discipline you. Or if you get disciplined by God, don't feel that you're the only one. Why did He pick on you? Hebrews chapter 12. And mark this in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 7 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 7 to verse 11. If you are there, say amen. Endure hardship. I'm reading from the NIV. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, the Bible says that. I'm not adding that. Then you are illegitimate children. The King James says you are bastards. The NIV says if you don't get disciplined by God, you are illegitimate children and you are not true sons. You are not true children of God. If you claim you're a Christian and you live any old way and you're not feeling the discipline of God, God is saying you are not a Christian.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
Here's your special invitation to join Pastor Grant under the big tent Sunday, June 12th at 7 p.m. at 605 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. Meetings continue nightly, except Tuesday, at 7 p.m. Join us in this special outreach to share the life-transforming message of Christ with our community. We're conveniently located less than 15 minutes from Manayunk, Willow Grove, and Fort Washington. Please join us in prayer for a mighty movement of the Spirit of God. For details, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Moreover, we have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. I hope you did. If they didn't abuse you, I certainly respected all I got, and I got more than, I got a whole lot. Glad Richard is not here to shout amen. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Let me say a couple things. Number one, discipline is not the same as trials. I need to make that distinction, because sometimes people ask you to pray, I'm going through a lot of trials right now. Please, no, you ain't going through no trials. You see, God may use the very same thing for trials as for discipline. For one person, he might put you through sickness as a trial because he's trying to mature you. For another person, he puts you through sickness as a discipline because he's trying to correct you. I hope you're understanding where I'm going with this. A discipline and trials are different. And if everything that happens to you, you say God is putting you through trials, you will miss what God is up to. Discipline. The reason God disciplines us is because we are misbehaving. Are you getting it? Trials are not because you are misbehaving. Trials is because God is trying to produce something in you. Discipline is because you're being a bad boy or a bad girl. You've been naughty, as the British would say. You've been a very naughty boy. And so God has to discipline you. But it's not the same. And it's important we understand. If we miss that, we will miss what God is doing. And we will miss how do we solve the problem. You keep on asking us to pray for your trial while you're living in sin. We're wasting time praying for your trial because you're not going through no trial. And God is going to continue whipping until you deal with the sin. Are you getting me? The experience he passes you through might be the same, but God's objective is different. One, his trials, which are productive, and discipline, which is corrective. Here are a few key things about God's discipline. It is because of our sin. Can I just say this? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God loves you too much to allow you to get away. You see, remember now, what are we saying? God sanctifies us, what? Positionally, the moment we get saved. And then he's on this process of practical sanctification. So if God is going to be conforming you to the image of Christ, he can't just have you doing whatever you want to do and just leave you alone, right? You've been parents. Some of you have been parents, and you don't just let that kid do whatever he or she wants to do. If they're misbehaving, you try and correct them to get them back on track. And that's exactly what God does. He is going to deal with you. He is going to deal with you. Number two, discipline is designed to cause pain. Oh, you said, brother, why would God do that? Verse 11, did you see that? In verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Discipline, God's discipline is designed to cause you pain. God's discipline is designed to make you feel it. So don't throw a pity party when God disciplines you. Discipline must hurt. And guess what? You don't have any say in how much hurting is reasonable. You see, you and I can choose to sin. And by the way, you know, I'm not just talking theory here. I've been there. I've been there. Guess what? You've been there too. God has disciplined you. And the reality, we can choose the sin, but God chooses the timing, the duration, and the severity of the discipline. Did you hear what I said? God chooses the timing. So you feel right now you've been getting away. Oh, you know, I bet you there's somebody here this morning, some believer in Jesus Christ, who right now there is some stuff in your life that's not right. Right now, there's some stuff. I'm talking to somebody who the Spirit of God is reminding you that you are being naughty. Perhaps you've been naughty for a while. Nobody knows, or so you think. And it seems like you have gotten away with it. But you see, God is the one who is going to determine the timing. God is the one who is going to determine the duration. God is the one who is going to determine the severity of the discipline. And so one of the things that we need to do is that we need to determine, even this morning, God, I want to fly right. And one of the reasons God is bringing this message to our attention is to say to anyone who is being naughty, is to help you Help me to say to God, oh God, I repent. Oh God, I don't want to do it. Please forgive me, God. I'm going to change. But three, it's good to think about it. It's this part I think is key. Its goal is our wholeness. Chapter 2, verse 10 says, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. God's objective is not that he loves to see you hurt. God is not trying, the objective of his causing you pain is not just because, it's not that he likes to hurt you. You know, in our world, if somebody at work, you hurt them, sometimes they'll hurt you back. That's not what God is up to. God is not disciplining you because he's angry that you hurt his feelings. God is disciplining us because he's determined to make you holy. Are you seeing that? It's about being holy. And so he cannot allow us to just keep going because he wants to make us holy. God's objective, his goal is my holiness. But fourthly, it will not end until we submit to God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 9 says here, we have all had human fathers who discipline us, and we submit, respect to them. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits? And then the end part of verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but listen, later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Did you see that? Discipline is painful, but discipline, God has a goal. It produces righteousness and peace to those who are trained. If we submit to God, if we allow the Spirit of God to work in us so that we change. You say, Brother Brian, suppose I choose this morning that I'm not going to submit. You say, Brother Brian, suppose I choose that I'm going to keep going the way I go. I think it was a movie. He said, your hands are too short to. Can I suggest that to you? My hands are too short to box with God. And if I decide I'm not going to submit, he'd bring it right around again. Oh, you're still not going to submit? I wish I had time to tell you a story of my father disciplined me one time, and I just refused to submit. And he beat me. Refused to submit. He beat me again. He upped the ante, eventually upped the ante to a point where I submitted. Man, don't go that way with God. Don't force God to up the pressure. Don't force him to up the pressure. Say to God this morning, God, I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to submit. God, I don't want to do it my way. I'm willing to do it your way. Perhaps you're here and you're not even saved. Don't fight with God. Listen, God wants to change you. Can you imagine? The Creator, he loves you so much. He wants to change you to make you like Jesus. And it all happens when you come to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Savior, as my Lord. Listen, if you do that today, the construction program will begin in you, and God, this potter, will start making you into what he wants you to be.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.